Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 5, where we hear Jesus say, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Immediately following the Beatitudes in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus declares, "You are the salt of the earth." But what in the world does that mean? How are we to understand this? After all, salt has many uses. One place I read, I think, that listed at least 7 uses for salt. But among us, besides spreading it on the roads when it snows or ices, the most common use is as a preservative, or probably for us, mostly as a flavoring. And so it is that we are called to live in a way that gives glory to God. By living our faith, we serve as a preserving and purifying agent against the moral rot and spiritual decay so prevalent in the world. We don't need to look far to see the rottenness and decay. Every day, we read and hear reports of murder, rape, adultery, graft, robbery, slander, and so much more. Everywhere we look, we see the open portrayal, acceptance, promotion, and even celebration of adultery and fornication, violence and homosexuality, even abortion and euthanasia, the killing of those deemed inconvenient, unwanted and useless, is encouraged in many areas. Everywhere we go or look, the name of God is used in vain in the form of cursing and frivolous swearing. Almost all the media and entertainment so often lampoon Christian morality. And while we and others might not think much about it, God preserves many people because of the Christians who live among them. Remember, God was willing to spare Sodom if 10 righteous people could be found there. But there was only Lot, his wife, and 2 daughters. And thus, to preserve and purify the world in such a time as this, God has distributed Christians as universally as salt. We are to be agents for good in our society. And having been cleansed by the power of the gospel, we are to live a Christian life in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. Unless you think is somehow different today, thus it has always been. Redeemed from sin, our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to influence others so that they too might believe and be saved. We strive to set an example of Christian morality and living in our homes, in our businesses, in our schools, and in our recreation, and of course, in the church. If we aren't doing that, we are like salt that has lost its taste. If we become so much like others that our distinctiveness disappears, we are no longer useful if our doctrine, our faith, our life becomes watered down or compromised, then it will no longer be good for anything. If we compromise our faith by willingly participating in non-Christian and anti-Christian religions, groups, and organizations, then we are no longer salt in the world. For Christians who have lost their distinctive Christian character and attitudes cease to influence their surrounding for good. They no longer live as disciples. Just as savorless salt has no value and is treated as refuse, so Christians who have ceased to fulfill their role of acting as a moral power in the world will cease to be of any value to God. If we aren't good for something, then we are good for nothing. So, how do we become salt? And how do we retain our saltiness? How are we preserved from losing our flavor? Through the faithful use of God's Word and sacrament. For through these means, the Holy Spirit increases and strengthens our faith so we can live lives pleasing to God and beneficial to others. As our sins are forgiven, we in turn forgive others. And that's why it is so important to be here each week. For this is where we receive the power to influence our society for good. And I dare say this is where we learn what that good is. Well, then Christ declares, "You are the light of the world." How can this be? We, who are by nature infected with the darkness of sin, called the light of the world? Indeed. For we are called such by the one who is the only true light of the world. It is through him that we learn of God's love to us in the high price that Jesus paid in his life, his suffering, his death on the cross to redeem us. In his teaching, we learn God's will for us and see clearly the way back to the Father through Christ. In the light which Christ gives, we become changed people. And as such, we have power from him to give light to others. As our Christian faith shines forth, people will hear of him from our lips and see him in our lives. His light shines through us. And this light is for the world. Jesus says, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Indeed, we have difficulty imagining a city being hidden at all. But a city on a hill most certainly cannot be hid. It is visible from miles around. And Christians, by virtue of their baptism into Christ and by virtue of their discipleship, are like such a city. Their faith makes them different people. Different in motivation, different in opinion, different in goals, different in lifestyle. Different from the unbelieving world. And being different makes Christians marked people, standouts. That is as it should be. It agrees with the nature and the object of our calling as Jesus' disciples. To light a lamp and cover it up makes no sense at all. A lamp is lit to shed its light so that people can see. That's how it is with us Christians too. Jesus himself applies the conclusion. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. There is too often a tendency to hide belief and convictions. I dare say we generally try to keep our Christian views to ourselves because we fear offending someone or suffering some unpleasant consequences. But to think and act this way is to be disloyal to Christ. The light of faith we have is given to us from God to shine. It is to shine, not to brag or boast, not to earn anything from God, not so that people might admire us, but so that they will eventually come to the conclusion that God is behind the good works, that He is the power from which the good works flow. And so the glory and the honor will properly go where it should, to our Father in heaven. That's what Paul was getting at in today's epistle reading. He writes, "My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." All the glory goes to God. Just as the light shines through stained glass and gives beauty and light to those on the inside, so God's people, God's saints, are people through whom the light of Christ shines. This call to saltiness and lightness is law, not gospel. Make no mistake, the law never functions as the basis for our salvation. Rather, salvation has been accomplished by Christ's fulfillment of the law for us and by His suffering and death. By His grace alone, we are called salt and light. And so we are. By His almighty power, we are called to be salt and light to the world. Indeed, that's what being a citizen in God's kingdom is all about. God demands a righteousness that is superior to the outward righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, who thought that they could somehow earn credit before God by their supposed good works. And yet, such a life, such a righteousness, is ours through Christ. But being salt and light is no easy thing. For in both cases, we must be different from the culture around us. While that culture continues to slip into the abyss of immorality, we must not become a part of it. Rather, we must do whatever we can to shed the light of God's word on that culture. We must take our stand for the saving truth of all of God's word, and most especially, for the gospel. We must declare with our tongues and our lives all that Christ has done for us. We do desire to strive and keep God's law, not because it earns salvation, not because it will somehow affect our eternal life, but because salvation is already ours in Jesus Christ. The Christian does not act under the law in order to satisfy the demands of a righteous God so that he won't blast us. But rather he lives gladly in harmony with the law because God has made him and enables him to be a responsible member of his people who want to see his kingdom embrace all mankind. Man, still vested in his humanity, needs the direction of God's will. A life in harmony with God's will is possible only with the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. God grant that we are such light and salt in our world as Christ declares us to be, and that our righteousness far exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, that with pure hearts and minds, we would give glory to God our Father and be great examples for others. To God be the glory. Amen.